Real Talk Real Muslims is a podcast by two young Muslims who talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly of life as a young Muslim today.
Welcome back to Real Talk Real Muslims. This is Rawan.
And this is Rand. Today, we are super excited to bring you a very special guest, Rami Qawwas. Rami currently serves as the executive director and instructor at Oak Tree Institute. For over 10 years, Rami has had a passion for learning and teaching personal development and leadership topics. He has served in different leadership capacities for various local and national nonprofit organizations. He has extensive experience in organizing and delivering educational and training programs, as well as a long track record in leading various departments, events, projects, and programs that concentrate on human development and leadership. He is currently pursuing his master's degree in psychology from Harvard University.
Thank you so much, Rami, for calling in today and joining us. We're really excited to have you here with us today to talk about young Muslim leadership in American Muslim communities.
Thank you, guys. I'm very honored to be here and really appreciate you guys reaching out. And I'm excited to get this very important episode recorded for you guys.
We're really excited to have you. Thank you so much.
Okay, so let's jump right in. So we know that you have a lot of experience working in leadership training, and you now run your own leadership training institute. Can you tell us a little bit more about the Oak Tree Institute?
The Oak Tree Institute is a nonprofit organization that serves other Muslim nonprofit organizations by training them on essential leadership and organizational skills. We work with everybody from community centers to startup youth organizations to million-dollar charity and humanitarian organizations. And what we do is that we train their board of trustees, their board of directors, their executive teams, their youth directors on a variety of different leadership skills that allow them to excel within their organizations. So that has to do with either management skills or it has to do with like organizational culture, values, communication, soft skills. So that's what we do. We equip leaders to excel at being able to serve through their organizations and serve their communities.
Yeah, that's awesome. I feel like that's super important because I feel like a lot of times today what we see in Muslim communities is a lot of times it can be a bit more informal maybe, and people don't necessarily see the value in like being trained professionally or having that professional advice there.
What we see is that a lot of times organizations, particularly in our community, like people get put into positions of leadership and they've never been trained, they don't know what to do. Sometimes they don't even have a job description. They're just expected to be a youth director, or they're expected to be an executive director or a board of trustees. And what we're trying to do is help kind of refine the professionalism in our organizations, but at the same time, equip people with the most important skills, the best practices in how they can make their organizations kind of go to another level, at least be really functional, really effective, and then be able to take them to another level.
Yeah, I think that's very important, and we see it always in our community. Like, they always have great ideas, but it's just, like, it's always volunteering and not actual positions in our Muslim community, which I think is very important to be trained on as well.
I think kind of on a similar note of the challenges, one of the biggest things that we discuss on this podcast are challenges that Muslim youth, especially in America, face today. And one thing that I've noticed is that Muslim youth, when they're young leaders, sometimes they're not supported by their communities as they evolve and as they grow. Is this something that you've seen in your work? And what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So actually, that's one of the biggest problems that we see in our community and in organizations all across the country, communities all across the country. I've been, you know, very honored to really work and serve with youth and college students and young professionals for a long time. And I've been to communities that, you know, alhamdulillah, you know, I was able to really excel, give and create a lot of programs and create a lot of different initiatives for that that segment of our community. But, you know, nowadays when I'm traveling all over to different parts of the country and I see really there's a lack of support for Sajid or organizations, they don't support youth as much as they should be. And as a matter of fact, a lot of times they're forcing them to leave the masjid or to leave the community center, right? So unfortunately, that is a sad reality. But I think that there's a lot of ways that we can transform that. But definitely, it begins with first having the mindset of wanting to, understanding that you have to serve the next generation, right? That this young people across our community, they will be the next leaders, right? They're not the leaders. They're not just the leaders of tomorrow. They're also the leaders of now. And so I think organizations and communities kind of need to mature to that reality. Some have been very successful in doing that. Not all are turning youth away. Some are really successful. They have the right mindset. They show the right support, but some do not. But I think it's something that we definitely need to work on.
I definitely feel like there's like a huge like lack of support sometimes for Muslim youth in communities. And then like a lot of times like the older generation will, you know, like they'll move away or they'll go to different cities. And then you just have this like big group of people that had no experience. Yeah, there's like no, people don't have experience or support being leaders. And so there's just like a gap of people that don't know what to do and how to lead their Muslim communities.
Right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, and it's not just that. It's a lot of times, I mean, even their children are not being, the community's not supporting even their own children, like the leaders of the community. Their own children aren't even being supported in the community center or in the masjid. So definitely it requires a paradigm shift, particularly for our current leaders in different communities, for them to shift. And it requires young people to stand up, you know, to stand up and get, you know, kind of be willing to take on different responsibilities. And I think, I don't know if, you know, I think we could discuss that a little bit, but what can youth do if they feel like they're not being empowered? But yeah. I think it's a two-sided equation, right? One is definitely the elders in the community have to have the mindset and allow young people to flourish, but also young people need to step up to the plate and be able to take on responsibility, show maturity, and do that themselves as well.
And why do you think that is? Like, sometimes the chance isn't given for Muslim youth or youth in general to like step up. Like, I feel like sometimes, like you said, we have to be responsible and things like that, but sometimes there's that like disagreement or things of that sort. Why do you think that's there?
Yeah, so I think there's many reasons why. I think, you know, most of or a large amount of our community is, you know, they're immigrants, they're first generation, or, you know, their kids are here, they're raising them. They might not be as attuned with the cultures, the norms of the society. They might be fearful. There's definitely a lot of reasons for that. What I think, though, is, you know, let's talk about, like, solutions. And I always like to be solutions-focused.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that young people can do, like, if you're in high school, you're in college, I think showing responsibility and maturity from a community setting is really important. I think that's actually the first step, because you want to build trust with the elders and the leaders, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think I've seen that communities will allow youth to kind of have a platform and perform and do different projects and events when there's trust there. And I think how you build trust, particularly as a young person, is really by showing responsibility, showing that you're committing to doing certain things, that you're communicating. For example, you might do a small project, right? Let's say even as small as a bake sale, even as small as, you know, a little, hey, we can do this. Like, we're showing maturity, we're showing responsibility, and then you're growing from there. Definitely the elders give a lot of difficulty, but also young people tend to not be patient. And it's a two-way street again, right? The more patience you show, the more responsibility you show, the more initiative that you show, I think long-term, that's the best way for you to create a platform for young people in your community.
Another issue that I've seen, or like we both noticed, is that our Muslim communities have a lot of internal problems like discrimination, jealousy, a lack of support for one another, and they often go unaddressed. So how do you think we should go about addressing these internal problems?
Another great question. I mean, you guys are bringing up some really important topics. You know, a lot of times in communities, you know, you'll see like it's an affluent community, it's a strong community, like there's a lot of people. It might even be like really nice buildings, really nice infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the internal drama, politics, these issues, these, you know, interpersonal issues are what creates a lot of it causes an absolutely toxic environment in a community or in a community center. So I think always, particularly again for young people, I think the first thing is to never add fuel to the fire when there's a situation, right? I think a lot of times we can unconsciously, you know, create, you know, there's a problem, there's an issue that a community's having, and we just add to it through gossip, or we add to it through, kind of over-dramatizing as well. So I think that's a danger. As for, like, how do we resolve or remedy some of these things, I think there's a lot of ways. I mean, one of the things that we do at Oak Street is that we provide a lot of trainings around these interpersonal ways, like, right, how do we resolve conflicts? How do we deal with different personalities? A lot of it has to do with just simple, like, communication training or, like, just emotional intelligence training, right, understanding what are hot-button issues or how to bring things up with wisdom. So that's training is definitely a way to deal with that. The other way is that people really create safe spaces within their organizations to talk to one another. Like, you have to create a town hall, or you have to have transparency as a leader, or youth have to speak up and say, hey, we'd like to voice our concern all together about an issue, instead of, like, keeping it in the dark, or, you know, just everybody's not addressing the leadership or not addressing the right people directly. You should either create a safe space or find a space where you can voice your concerns directly to the people that you think can handle the issue.
Yeah, I definitely think that's great advice, and that we are lacking those spaces.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I feel like the conversations are happening, or it's just happening among, like, small pockets of people in the community, or, like, friends or, like, family groups. And, like, if people were to just have that conversation openly, everything would be resolved much more quickly and with less drama, I think.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, not just them having the conversation, not just them having the conversation, but also about them having it at the right time. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes as young people, for example, we let things build up and we get more frustrated and more frustrated and more frustrated, and it just kind of blows up all at once, instead of, like, hey, if I had feedback, I should have gave it right away as soon as I could. If we all had a concern, we should give it, even at an individual level. That's one of the best ways to resolve conflicts, is that you don't let them build up. You try to, you know, voice your concerns as soon as possible so that it can be addressed as soon as possible.
And I think one thing on that note of kind of just, like, conflicts building up is that I think as Muslim leaders, we do face so many of those conflicts and challenges, and it seems like there's almost like a never-ending list of issues that we're tasked with solving, both internally and externally to our communities. A lot of times, I feel like this leads to Muslim leaders being overworked and undercompensated, and it can even lead to Muslim leaders experiencing burnout. Do you have any tips on dealing with burnout, or have you seen this in your work?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, particularly with young leaders, you know, really active, you know, high achievers. I mean, it happens a lot that I think people get really excited. There's a lot of things going on in their life. There's school and there's family. Sometimes there's work responsibilities. Definitely a lot of volunteering and many different organizations. So I think there's several remedies for that. I think the first of them is to always, first and foremost, put yourself in a position as a young person where you have a passion and interest that you really want to serve, a cause. And you put yourself there. I think a lot of times, you know, we thrust into or we follow whatever, you know, we're just, sometimes we feel obligated in the volunteer work that we're doing. But if we were to, like, find an area that we want to really contribute to that's bigger than ourselves, and that we would, you know, I think one of, you know, I've studied psychology, so one of the things I learned about is the concept of flow. Like, when you find things that are challenging, and you're really passionate about them, when you find that area in your life, you actually, even though it might be overwhelming to you, you'll still love that feeling. So that's really important, that you are aligned with, like, a life mission, or you have a greater purpose, passion in what you're doing, and particularly when serving other people. I think that's super important, so that you're not just serving everywhere. Right. And you're just, you know, you don't know why you're doing something. So there has to be a deeper meaning for it. So I think that's number one. Burnout happens when you don't have sometimes a deeper meaning in why you're doing something. Young people really need to learn to say no to things. Right. So now that I have, you know, one of the famous things that we learn about, like, you know, time management is you have to say no because you have a bigger yes. So if you have a bigger yes, meaning, like, I have a bigger calling in life, or I have a bigger cause that I'm trying to work on, then you learn to say no to things that are not as important, right? Mm-hmm. So sometimes you have to say no. Sometimes you have to say, hey, I'm sorry, I can't volunteer and do that. Or I'm sorry, I can't attend that meeting. Or, hey, I can't. Sometimes you have to tell your family, you know, like, hey guys, I'm really busy. I have something that I need to do. So learning how to say no to things, you know, it requires prioritizing things, right, as well. I think if you're a high school student or a college student, you really need to learn how to prioritize what's important and then say no to things that are not as important, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes saying no to, you know, burnout, for example, like people are really busy with Netflix and they're really busy with like their latest show or hanging out with their friends. And, you know, and then they're like, oh, I'm so burned out if I have to volunteer at the masjid, right? So, yeah. You know, so burnout is also a really relative term, right? So you really have to learn to say, again, no to things that ideally, again, you have something, you have a goal, you have a direction, you have a purpose you're trying to, you know, something you're trying to fulfill that's really important to you. And then you can say no to things that are not necessarily aligned with that, right? So I'll give an example. Let's say I'm really passionate about doing youth work in the community. And then my master tells me, hey, but we need you to help. We need you to help with the Quran kids. Like, you know, I'm really sorry. Or the Sunday school. You should be like, you know, I'm really sorry. I know it's really important, but no, I can't do that, right? Or because I'm trying to work with the youth department. I'm trying to serve this. Whereas when you're always saying yes to everything, you're absolutely going to get burnt out because you're setting yourself up to fail, and you're giving false expectation to the other party. So I think those are like two of the things that maybe can having an overall like direction, like causes that you are really important to you that you want to work on, and then learning to say no that to other things that don't necessarily align with those causes, mm-hmm. I think is really important for preventing burnout.
Yeah, I think so too, especially like in Muslim communities, sometimes there's like a couple of people who are super active and super involved, and so then everyone starts turning to the same people over and over again, asking them to be involved in everything. So then it's just like you have this huge community being served by a small group of people, and then we're just like burning out those people and giving them like so much work.
Particularly when you're a young person, right? I think sometimes elders also see a young person that is leading, they're volunteering, they like them, they're happy, and then they want to put them everywhere. It's like, okay, you're going to join the board. You're going to join the outreach team. You're going to join the community service team. You're going to join.
Yeah.
And the young person is just saying, okay, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. And then they find out like, 2, 3, 4, 5 months in, like, oh my God, this is so overwhelming. And then this is what they do. They go to the opposite, a complete other extreme, which is they drop everything.
Yeah.
They leave the community and they're like, you know, it's just, it's too hectic. It's too crazy for me. I don't need the stress in my life. Forget it. And really that is also unhealthy as well, right? It has to be balanced. You have to find that balance where you're serving in areas that are really important to you and you're learning to say no to areas so that also, other people can step up and fill those roles as well.
I think that's very important so we can give everyone in the community a chance to serve the community.
Yeah.
And I know you talked about prioritizing, that's one important thing, but for any community leaders listening, what other advice would you give them on how they can best support and empower the young Muslims in their communities to become leaders and just like Muslim leaders that, well, young Muslims leaders that are already leaders, how they can keep doing it?
Yeah, excellent question. Also, very, very difficult one for communities to answer. I think just a simple, straightforward answer is that I think the elders need to sometimes, they just need to move out of the way. And it's difficult for them. It's maybe hard for them. But they have to understand that they have to create the platforms within their communities for young people to excel. Right? You cannot keep shunning away young people. And I think one of the ways is that you allow the young people to create the platform. So, for example, if a group of young people really want to serve the homeless in an area, just let them come in and do that, right? Empower them, show them support. Even if it's not, you know, physical, if it's not money or something, like you can still just show them support, like encourage them. Allow them to do their own programs. Like, oh, we want to just create a youth program in our community. Let them do that. Whatever that initiative is, allow them to have a platform where they can do it. they should start small. And I think, you know, the advice for young people is to start small, show successes, and build from there. Don't just dive into, like, doing big, expensive, elaborate events or projects, and then you never even built the foundation. Now, you should start by having and showing successes. Like, hey, we did, we you know, again, the example of, like, serving the homeless. Hey, we did, we got 10 people, we cooked food, we packed, you know, 50, you know, boxes of food, and we distributed it. Mm-hmm. And then instead of saying, oh, we're going to do 5,000 boxes of food, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I think just starting off slow and having successes also builds trust with the elders as well. But I think what the elders need to do is allow the platform, right? Hear out the concerns of young people. What are the biggest challenges, and where are the areas that you feel like they can perform? Small successes lead to bigger successes, and I think that's the best way to start.
I agree. Thank you so much for that. That's actually really helpful.
Yeah. I think that we talked a lot about, too, you had a lot of really great points about people that are already in these leadership positions and are already kind of established in, you know, their passions and what capacities they want to serve in their communities. But for young Muslims listening who may be looking for ways to get more involved as leaders in their communities, do you have any advice for them?
Yeah, so I think the best advice for young people that are, there's two scenarios generally. One is that we're empowered, we're allowed to be given a platform in our community, and then we just need to step up to the plate. And I think for those, again, like the things that we mentioned, for those, that group, I think, again, starting small, showing success, building trust, and then being consistent, right? Allowing there to be consistent work, even if it's small. Like, a lot of times young people are just into, like, the flashy, big events, one time, go all out, and then that's it. There's nothing after. I think if you've been given a platform, whatever community service or youth development, you need to show consistency, build trust, and build with small victories, small successes, small programs, and let them grow and build. That's much more long-term beneficial for you and your community. So for people that are not having support from their community, like their masjid is not supporting them, or their community center is not allowing them to have programs or initiatives, I think it's important for them to have allies from adults. It could be their parents, it could be uncles, it could be mentors, friends, that they get to be on their side, to speak to the adults, to speak to the leadership, right? And for them to be like advisors. I know in school we have like academic advisors, or a lot of the organizations in school, they have, you know, supervisors, right? I think in a masjid community, it's really important to have some adults, particularly when you have a lot of hostility from adult leadership, right? Elder leadership. You need to get adults to support you, to speak up on your behalf, right? Mm-hmm. So if you can find that, and you can allow them to leverage you, allow them to say, hey, we're not just going to do youth work on our own. We're going to have this person, that person, this other person be our mentors for these programs, right? And then maybe adults, maybe the elders, they were worried that young people would just lead stuff. Maybe that would ease their worries a little bit. So I think that's one important strategy. I think the other one, if that doesn't work, is that you got to create your own platform. I'm really happy for you guys. This is an amazing, amazing initiative. Like, we live in the world of the internet. We live in the world of YouTube and podcasts and Snapchat and Instagram. Like, you can really create a platform. Mm-hmm. It might not be ideal, right? It might, like, you know, oh, our message is not allowing us to do anything. It might be, and I've seen this in different communities where they rent a third space and they just create youth programs there. It might be where you're just doing youth programs in somebody's house. I've seen communities where they do the youth halakha, they do a youth program in people's houses. Like, they're so dedicated to it that they got a bunch of parents, they got a bunch of adults to allow them to do in the house. I've seen, you know, young people where they're doing something just online, right? They're doing it through YouTube channels, or they're doing it through, you know, virtual meetings. So I think it's really important to understand that you should never, ever quit. We live in a world where we have so many resources. We can do so many things. There are so many platforms. We just need to be willing to just think outside the box, be really committed, and start it that way.
Yeah, I think that's all definitely super great advice, and something that's very inspirational to not only young Muslim leaders, but even people that may be a bit older that might be listening, to kind of like keep at it and, you know, regardless of the challenges that we do face as Muslim leaders, to keep going.
Yeah, because like at the end of the day, if you have a great idea and you want to impact something, if you keep on trying, you're gonna like get to where you want, and it's gonna be worth it.
Exactly. And you have to be resilient. I think, you know, a lot of times we definitely will get a lot of challenges. Like we'll be frustrated, we'll be stressed, we'll be sad. And I've gone through that as well, even, you know, personally myself, in dealing with different situations and different communities. But you really have to just persevere, just keep going. It's really worth it. Not just that we're changing, or we're helping people change people's lives, but, you know, also that we're really trying to be committed to Allah Azza wa Jalla, to show Him, like, we're going to do all we can. Like, we are not going to give up in serving your deen, serving your community, and doing our best in that way.
Yeah, I definitely think it's always a good reminder also to have our intentions in check and to remember the ultimate reason why we do the work that we do. I think that's all the time that we have for today. Thank you so much, Rami, for joining us. We really, really appreciate you donating your time and all of your wisdom and advice. And we learned a lot from you, and we know that everyone listening will as well.
Thank you guys again. I'm really honored. I'm very, very honored to be on with you guys. I hope and pray that this podcast continues to grow. It's a tremendous initiative. I hope that you guys continue to keep consistent, keep growing it. Ask Allah to allow it to be something that is really heavy on your scales on the Day of Judgment and impacting and changing young people's lives.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Rami. We really appreciate it.
That's all we have for you guys today. We hope you enjoyed this episode about young Muslim leadership, and we hope that it helps you reflect on your own leadership styles and journeys.
Yeah, I think we really learned a lot from Rami. He had so much to offer, and I know that I personally learned a lot. Even, you know, I feel like no matter how many times we feel like, oh, we talk about this all the time, or this is something that we see all the time, like, it's always good to have that, like, new perspective. And I think Rami definitely brings something that's unique and something that's new, in that he's really emphasizing, you know, that, like, professional training for Muslim leaders, which is really, really important as we are, like, pioneering this, like, new generation of people who are leaders in America. I think it's really important for us to have that training and to be equipped with that knowledge and wisdom, which I think Rami really shared with us today.
And I think it's really important how he was talking about, even if we go through all these struggles, that it's okay, that we need to keep pushing through and keep being consistent. And at the end of the day, it is going to be worth it. So if you guys are struggling with something in your communities and with your leadership journeys, it's okay. It'll be worth it.
Yeah. And remember to follow us on Instagram at Real Talk Real Muslims, and like us on Facebook at Real Talk Real Muslims. Remember to share this episode with your friends and family, and give us any feedback about our podcast by messaging us on Instagram or emailing us at realtalkrealmuslims@gmail.com. Also, make sure to check out Rami and the Oak Tree Institute at oaktreeinstitute.org or on Instagram at Oak Tree Institute.
That's Real Talk Real Muslims for you.
Bye.